as we promised earlier, we have an awesome interview with Jennifer Rhodes, who played Agnes Stevens, or Mama, in this episode of Quantum Leap. And here it is.
Jennifer Rhodes' career spans four decades. One of her first Hollywood jobs was a small part as Robert Wagner's secretary in the Paul Newman William Holden blockbuster Towering Inferno. In features, Jennifer is best known for her role as Winona Ryder's mom in the cult film Heathers. In television, she is most recognized for playing Penny Grams Halliwell for 8 years on Charmed. She has had guest star television roles including ER, Third Rock from the Sun, Friends, Ally McBeal, The Larry Sanders Show, Murphy Brown, Designing Women, L.A. Law, The District, Equal Justice, and Fame. But Leapers know her best as Agnes Stevens in the Quantum Leap episode, Blind Faith. Thank you for joining us today, Ms. Rhodes. It's really a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Can we start off, can you tell me a little bit about your experience filming the episode of Quantum Leap, Blind Faith?
Well, actually, that role was one of my favorite roles, guest starring on television, other than Charmed, of course, which I got to do the same part for many, many times, many weeks. But Quantum Leap was a role I just always loved doing. And in fact, I used to call it my mommy dearest part. And I loved working with those two men, and the whole experience was terrific.
It's funny you mentioned Mommy Dearest. When I was watching this episode, that's one of the first things I thought of was...
Really?
Yeah, the Joan Crawford part played by Faye Dunaway in Mommy Dearest. And I was wondering if that was like a conscious decision at the time to make a character similar to that, or if that was discussed with you or the director or the writer.
I don't think so. No, that wasn't done. But I just remember later when I saw it thinking, oh, God, Mommy Dearest. No, but it wasn't planned, no. Sort of happened.
What was the set like? What was the director like? This director, David Finney, was his name. He only did one episode of Quantum Leap, so I was wondering if he was good to work with.
Yes, I do. I'm trying to think of what he looked like just in my mind this morning. And I thought, gosh, whoever it was, I just really enjoyed working with him, though, because he was an actor's director. And by that, I mean discussions of the character and he felt comfortable with him. I trusted him. That's about all I remember. And I remember the smoking on that show. When I first saw the role, I thought, oh boy, my chance to be Betty Davis here, you know, with a cigarette. And I had smoked for years. And I gave it up, I think when I was 32 or something. And so I hadn't smoked for years. And of course, I had to smoke on this show. And I thought, well, I look like I know what I'm doing because I'm, you know, ex-smoker. And I looked so dumb smoking because I didn't inhale it. You know, I kept going, so much for my Betty Davis image.
So you enjoyed your time on Quantum Leap?
Absolutely.
What was Scott Bakula like to work with?
Well, you know, both of them were very gentlemanly and very, as I recall, it was a very creative process, very giving actors. Dean Stockwell was, I had always been a big fan of his back from years, you know, enjoying his work. And I think Married to the Mob. Of course, he was a child actor too, as you all know, the boy with the green hair, et cetera. And, but I was thrilled to work with him because I had been a longtime fan.
The part of the episode where you put a match up to Scott Bakula. How many times did you have to do that, and were you a little bit nervous about maybe burning him?
Well, I probably was. You know, I'm going back many years now, so fortunately, remember, he had glasses on, so that was somewhat of a help. But I don't recall being nervous about it. Maybe not as nervous as he was.
I'm sure our listeners would love to hear about, of course, you played Grams on Charmed, and everybody really loved that character. Could you tell us a little bit about the time you spent on Charmed?
Of course, I had gone in to read for Charmed, and it was just a two-parter, and it was just for two shows. And fortunately, I wound up doing about 14 of them. So obviously, I must have been doing something right. And I wound up guest starring on that show for every year that it was running for 8 years. It's interesting when you do a character, you know, recur or your series regular, I think the writers must start seeing your personality somewhat coming out as you do it, and then they start adding things. And I thought, I'm just so close to this character, you know, in terms of my humor. My sense of humor was very much like Graham's, I think. In fact, a lot of my personality was very similar. And it was a fun role to do. Obviously, any time you get to come back as a big bad wolf, you know, which I did in one episode. And I remember I said, we're witches, darling. We can do anything. You know, so it just sort of leaves the road wide open to just trying almost anything. There's nothing you can't do when you're playing someone who's already dead anyway, you know. But it was one of my favorite experiences in terms of recurring on something. And there are a lot of Charm fans out there. It's running all over the world. I still get fan mail from, you know, Germany or Russia, Austria, Australia. So that's always fun to hear from people all over the world about something you did on TV, you know. It's great.
Even though you're only on, like you said, 14 or 15 episodes, it seemed like you were there all the time because you were just Grams and you were part of the show even when you aren't on the episodes.
A lot of people thought I was a regular on it, I think, from what they've said to me in mail. But and also they referred to my character a lot, even when I wasn't on the show. So, yes, I think a lot of people thought that, too. And it felt to me as if I was. You know, I felt a part of the show.
There's internet rumors about a Charmed reunion. Is there any truth to that you know of?
Well, I saw that. And somebody, one of my fans on my Facebook said, what do you think of this? And I said, well, I think they should remember that family is everything. then I read somewhere that this new revival of it, you said reunion, you're talking about the reshoot of it, right?
Right, right.
I read that they were that the girls weren't doing those parts, that they were casting someone else. Hmm. In other words, it would be more like a spin-off or something. So the truth is, I really don't know. I mean, they certainly haven't contacted me yet, but I would know. But I hope they do, you know, but whoever they cast, you know, for the girls. I hope that was misinformation, but it seems to me that, you know, they would bring their original cast back, but I don't know. I know that Alyssa Milano had a reunion of the cast and crew at her home. I think it was around the holidays, just this past year. And I went to that, and it was terrific seeing. I saw, you know, a lot of some of the cast there, not a huge amount, but there was, you know, the producer, a couple of the producers and a lot of the crew guys and people I worked with, you know, the hair people, makeup people. It was fun seeing everyone again.
Did your real-life relationships with the actresses who played your granddaughters kind of seem like granddaughters here and there? Like, did they look to you for advice or inspiration?
I can't say that they looked to me for advice or inspiration, but I think that anytime you do a role over a period of time, you sort of bond with the people that you're doing it with, and there's a sort of, it's like doing summer stock for actors, you know, you're very involved with the people at the time you're doing it and working together, and then everybody goes their own way, and very rarely do you see them anymore. So, but that was one reason I was happy to see her again, you know, Alyssa, at least. Holly wasn't there.
You've done over 30 films and 50 different TV shows. What really stands out in your career, like favorite memories of like all those experiences? I mean, from The Towering Inferno to even movies that haven't even come out yet, like Lovesick.
Mm-hmm. Well, The Towering Inferno was one of, I had a very small part in that, but it was one of my very first jobs that I just come to California. And I remember I did a High Chaparral. And then I got this part on Towering Inferno, like all of those major, major stars. And I remember I worked with Robert Wagner. I played his secretary. And so I had a couple of scenes in it, but I think I wound up just being in one. But it was a thrilling experience. I always tell people I left early and missed the fire. They said, what was your part? And I said, I left early and missed the fire. Heathers, I think, was another highlight for me. That has really turned into a cult film. Yeah, I went on a writer's mom. And I didn't work directly with Christian Slater, but all my scenes were with her. And that film today, even today, young students will, you know, they'll say, oh, I'm doing my thesis on Heathers, film students. And even, you know, a generation away, they all know that film. I've had people quote me in my lines in that film. So Heathers was, I must say, a highlight. And I had a couple of wonderful experiences filming movies. I wish the movie had been as good as the experience of doing it. I did one with Sherman Hemsley years ago called Ghost Fever. It was great fun. I shot that in Mexico. The film wasn't very good, but I didn't get much play. And then I did one in Thailand called, it was called Out of the Darkness. They kept changing the title, but I got to go to Thailand, which was a thrilling experience. One time, of course, this was a movie of the week, but I got to meet and work with Sheldon Winters.
Oh, wow.
And I don't remember the role, but I remember her. I used to say to her, do you want me to cue you on your lines? And she said, oh, yes, would you like? And I thought that was the greatest. And in television, you know, God, there's been so many, there's been good roles before. You know, I did about 3 episodes of Fame. That was a good thing. I enjoyed, I had some wonderful experiences on Designing Women. That was a terrific part. And working on that show was quite an honor. Larry Sanders' show, played the Orange Juice Lady. That was a terrific part for me. And, of course, as I said, Charmed. And that, but the one that stands out for me is Quantum Leap, in terms of just a single guest star.
On Quantum Leap, you were not the bad guy, because that would be the serial killer, but you were, I would say, an antagonist in the episode, right? What is that like, playing a bad guy versus playing, like, a good guy?
Oh, I think it's always more fun for actors, don't you? Aren't they always more interesting than the sweet ones?
More memorable, that's for sure. That whole monologue about how you had to take care of her since she was 2 because the guy walked out on you, that was really good.
Thank you.
When this show was coming up on our podcast, a lot of people like you and enjoy you from where you play Mrs. Sumner on Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Was that like a fun experience and people still recognize you for that?
Oh, I don't know if I get Third Rock so much because I played the Dean's wife, which wasn't, I did 3 episodes of that show. I did the pilot. And I remember, actually, there was a really cute scene I had with John Lithgow, and where he kissed someone and then she slapped him. So as he left my house, I kissed him. And he thought he was supposed to slap everyone, so he slapped me in the face. You know, which they were sort of physical bits, I remember, on that show. And I was always getting, you know, done in by somebody, as I recall. But I enjoyed doing that. He's a lovely man, John Lithgow. No, I mean, he just was just such a gentleman. And I remember he sang Night and Day on the episode I did, and I was thrilled to hear him sing. I didn't even know he was a singer. Obviously, he's been on Broadway recently, but I enjoyed very much working with him.
For me, one of my favorite shows, of course, besides Quantum Leap, is Ally McBeal, and you guest starred in the season 2 episode Only the Lonely, and it was the one all about the face bra.
Oh, yes.
How was that like?
Oh, it was wonderful. I enjoyed that role, and those ladies on the show were just, again, so good to work with, you know. I enjoyed that part. I mean, there's been several I have not enjoyed, but that was one of them. Like, I did a Friends one time, and it was not a very good experience.
What happened?
Well, it just was, I mean, Jennifer Aniston was nice because I worked with her, but, you know, he did it. Nobody really said much, you know, everybody just I didn't feel very welcomed on the show. And I think it's always important when, you know, the series lead to welcome the guests on the show. And it just wasn't a nice, I mean, no one was rude or anything like that, but it just wasn't a very welcoming experience, like Designing Women was, you know. Or, and then other shows I've done, you know, just the role was sort of, yeah. You know, I could take it or leave it. Couple of sitcoms recently. I enjoy doing sitcoms because you get to mostly do them in front of a live audience, which I enjoy doing.
You recently did Sean Saves the World with Sean Hayes. Was that in front of a live audience? And in front of a live audience, is that more like doing a play?
Yes, yes, it is. Except if you make a boo-boo, you can stop. You were asking me about Sean.
Yeah, Sean Saves the World and working with Sean Hayes.
Oh, I liked him. He was very sweet, very sweet. I see there's a perfect example. He came up to me and said, welcome to the show. Thank you. And he gave me a big smile. And when I left, I even gave me a hug, you know, it's funny. Warm. It was very warm. That show, I had a small part on that, but it was a kind of a cute part. And it was, I had to sing three lines of Blame It on the Bossa Nova. And the funny part is, I don't sing. I mean, you know, I can sing Happy Birthday, but that's about it. And it was an a cappella group, a reunion of Linda Lavin's a cappella group. So we had to get up as if we were performing and sing three lines. And then I faint from hunger because I was trying to lose weight to get into my costume I wore in college. So it was a cute little bit. But then this happens to them. I'm sure you've heard actors say this before. There were two scenes with dialogue and then singing, and they cut one of them. So I wasn't too happy about that. But it was such fun because here I was singing. And behind me is Lauren Loft. Of course, we all know Judy Garland's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Linda, whose family, I guess, came from opera. And then there was Maxine Weldon, who was this wonderful jazz blues singer. I'd seen her years ago at the Pine Street Bar and Grill in Hollywood. And she, these magnificent singers behind me. And here I am up going, oh, Christ, I've got to get through this. So that was kind of a new experience for me.
Sounds like fun.
It was.
You have projects that we've yet to see, like the movie Lovesick. Could you tell me a little bit about that? That looks interesting. I like that kind of film.
It looked cute. I played Allie Larder's mother, and she brings him home to dinner, and we're sort of, I did it a few months ago. I think it's supposed to be released this year. And now there was Matt LeBlanc, and he was absolutely charming to me on the film. You know, I remember thinking, because I didn't really talk to anybody other than Jennifer Aniston. And he was a doll, a very sweet man to work with. And that feature hasn't been released yet. I think it's probably supposed to be released this year. I'm not sure.
If people want more information on you or to maybe contact you, where can they go?
If they want to contact me for any reason, they can go to my website, which is jenniferrhodes.com. Or I have on Facebook, which is a little bit more, I keep up a little bit better, which is my, you just look up Jennifer Rhodes actress fan page. That's how it's listed. And that I sort of keep up on what I'm doing and what's happening. But if you want to email me for some reason, then you should go to the website.
Do you have any other upcoming projects you'd like to tell our listeners about?
Nothing definite at this point. I'm on a veil for a Lifetime, Lifetime Channel movie of the week for a lead in that, actually, in about 3 weeks. So we'll see what happens with that. And I'm working on we just had a play reading, because this would only be in the LA area, but it's a play called The Street with a Hole. I'm hoping that gets on the boards because I love to do theater. And other than that, it's called Auditions Are Us. I'm sure any day now I'm going to be discovered, you know?
You get to talk to all the cool people.
I do. You should do an interview or two.
Oh, I'm too nervous to talk to anybody.
But she was really nice. She was just getting over bronchitis, so she had a little bit of a raspy voice. But I think it was very nice of her to do the interview for us.
I think we've all done podcast episodes with bronchitis now.
I know I did one with the flu.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going on, but it turned out all right.
The power of editing.
Yes.